We didn't really pray for Suzanne Armstrong and Jim and Robin. Robin is on her deathbed. Do you understand? She is failing rapidly. And so as you think about the Armstrongs, just be sure and be in prayer for them. This past week, I was reading about a family tree. I heard about a prominent family who commissioned a professional biographer to record their family tree, and they gave him very careful instructions and cautioned him to deal carefully with Uncle George. Anybody else have an Uncle George in their family tree? All right. He was a drunken stupor. In a drunken stupor, he committed murder and was subsequently sent to the electric chair. The biographer assured them that he could handle that situation. This is what he wrote. Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a real shock. Oh, as we come to the book of Matthew, we have a genealogy about Joseph and his family. His family tree was a little bit interesting. Matthew 1:16, Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. The Christ. There are four women mentioned in Joseph's family tree. Three are a little bit, they might just be stinkers. Can we just say it that way? Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, a Moabitess, a foreigner, and then Bathsheba. Four women. But then he names a fifth. Then a fifth is mentioned. Louis Barbieri was one of my professors at Dallas Seminary. In fact, Dr. Barbieri was on my ordination committee that examined me for about 3 hours at Schofield Memorial Church before they would ordain me. I have fond memories of Dr. Barbieri coming to my rescue on more than one occasion theologically in that discussion, but he writes about this verse. When the fifth woman, Mary, was mentioned in the genealogy, an important change occurred. The genealogy consistently repeated the father of, the father of, the father of, until it came to Mary. At that point, Matthew changed and said, of whom was born Jesus? The of whom is a feminine relative pronoun, clearly indicating that Jesus was the physical child of Mary, but not that of Joseph. Joseph was not his physical father. This miraculous conception and birth are explained in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Let's just read it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before their formal wedding, and before their honeymoon, she was found to be with child. She was pregnant miraculously by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated simply means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. This morning I want to talk about that young man, Joseph. Who was this young man? In the book Christmas, The Rest of the Story, Rick Renner asks this question. Was Joseph a poor carpenter, as religious tradition says? Let's look at Joseph and the life that he lived. In Luke 2:4, it states that Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. He's in an important aristocratic family. Although Bethlehem was the traditional home of the descendants of David, a shoot or a branch of David's family resided in Nazareth. The family clan of David moved to that city about 100 years B.C. Matthew 13:55 states that Joseph was the son of the carpenter. But the word carpenter in the original Greek has a different meaning and nuance than what we think of when we hear the word carpenter. When I think of the word carpenter, I think of my father, outstanding craftsman. He was well known in our community. He was the carpenter that you called on to get something done with wood or have a house built or a garage built. Or my uncle, who was quite wealthy, had my father build his rock house on a hill outside our town that was actually featured in Architectural Digest. Dad was a craftsman. He didn't get any credit in that article, but Dad managed that, managed it as the contractor, managed it as the carpenter, and that's kind of the picture that we get here of Joseph. More than a woodworker, don't limit your thoughts to woodworking. The Greek word is tekton. It can describe working as a carpenter, yes. But that probably was not what the original readers would have understood that word to mean. On the two trips that I've taken to Israel, the tour guides make it a point to tell you that in that culture, a carpenter in the sense that it's used in Scripture does not just deal with wood. When I went to Nazareth, both times there was a little village set up, and in that village is a carpenter shop, and he's working with wood. He's got his lathes and his files and his saws and his chisels, and he's got everything lined up there, and everything's out of wood. But yet the tour guides admit, no, these people had a whole different skill set than just working with wood. It did include that probably. But there was very little wood around Nazareth. Buildings there are made out of what? Some of you have been to Israel. Stone, what kind of stone? What kind of stone? White stone. In fact, there is a law in Israel that every single building has to be made out of white stone. Everywhere you go, it looks like snow on the top of the hill. From Megiddo, the Valley of Armageddon, when you're down at Megiddo, the army site, ancient site, and you look over at the hill of Nazareth, it looks like there's snow on the top of the mountain. I've got pictures around the fellowship hall and in the back room that are from Mount Precipice in Nazareth, looking out toward Megiddo and out toward Mount Tabor. But this word would refer to someone that is building maybe out of white stone, but it certainly refers to a craftsman who creates works of art, skilled at working with his hands, making intricate building designs, perhaps floors covered with mosaics, or frescoes painted on the walls, or perhaps sculptures carved from marble or other stone, perhaps jewelry fashioned from gold or silver and adorned with jewels. When you think of a craftsman that this says Jesus was and Joseph was, it included more than just working with wood. One author said, it's important to note that one scholar has said that a tecton was so highly skilled that he could create shiny and splendid things of extraordinary beauty that made them appear to come to life. Thus, the principal meaning of this word was one who was highly skilled, a versatile craftsman and artisan who had the technical know-how to create wonders out of any kind of material. Notice that Jesus was said to be the son of the carpenter. This suggests that Joseph had skills that were well known in the community and in beyond the community. And one of the many carpenters and craftsmen living in Nazareth. There must have been several of them, but he was the craftsman. Often this word referred to a chief overseer who directed other building and artisan work in the community. At the time of Christ, Nazareth existed on the hilltop above the Valley of Megiddo, as it does today. But from that hilltop, just 4 miles away, was a city, the capital city of Herod Antipas, the city of Sepphoris. It was filled with artisans who were helping Herod build his capital city and make it the ornament of Galilee. He needed craftsmen. He needed architects. He needed building supervisors. He needed tile floors and frescoes and furnishings of bronze and silver and gold and furnitures of veneered wood. He needed craftsmen. As a craftsman, Joseph would have been highly compensated for his work. I don't believe Joseph was poor. He was living in Nazareth, probably working 4 miles away. How far is 4 miles away? From right here, it's 3 miles to my house. And if we add another mile, we get to Chevron. All right. So how long would it take me? Well, not now, but when I was buff. How long would it take me? Come on, you skeptics. How long would it take you to walk 4 miles? Maybe an hour, 3 miles an hour, but you're on the hills, you're going downhill. So in the morning, probably less than that, coming back up the hill after a hard day of work, maybe a little longer, but certainly around an hour. So Joseph going downhill to this newly constructed city. We don't even know about it because it's been decimated through history. It's not even there. But it was there at this time, and I believe he would have been well compensated as he went to work. Think about the morning gilds the skies. Think about that song as he's going down the hills as the sun is coming up. Beautiful. Remember that in Matthew, Joseph is entrusted with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were precious commodities, and he must have been reliable and well prepared to be entrusted with them. God was watching over Joseph, and God is watching over each one of us. Ministries and giftedness are coming from his hands to each one of us, and he entrusts us with them to use for his glory and for the good of those around us. Even as a young man, Joseph had proven that he was a man of integrity, and he could be entrusted with the care and support of God's one and only son born. Pretty incredible. He must have been an incredible young man. At some point, Mary's parents saw in Joseph a remarkable and successful young man, faithful, full of integrity, an up-and-coming young man in his career. He was the kind of young man that we would like for our daughters to marry in my case, granddaughters to marry. All eight of them so far. Matthew 2, 1 through 12 recounts how wise men came from the east, as we sang just a moment ago. They were magi, gifted, guided to Bethlehem to visit the baby Jesus. Scripture says they entered the house, saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That could have been a lot of money. Joseph, if he was a poor carpenter before this, he certainly is not a poor carpenter now. I don't believe he was poor. I believe the evidence shows that he was doing his work well, that he was prospering to some point at least, and he could be entrusted with wealth. Not to use it frivolously, not to run out and buy a new chariot or a new horse. He could be entrusted. By the time the Magi arrived, Jesus was older, as Robert mentioned at the hymn, perhaps 2 years old. The family had moved from the stable into a more suitable house. The Magi bowed down and worshiped the child and presented these gifts. These were gifts that were given for high-ranking figures, for kings, for queens, for priests. The Bible does not say what Mary and Joseph did with these gifts, but many scholars believe that these gifts would have helped them finance the family's material needs during their trip to Egypt and back to Nazareth 12 years later. Immediately following the visit of the Magi and the presentation of their gifts, God spoke to Joseph in a dream saying, "Get up. Take the child now, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Scripture tells us that literally happened. Children 2 years old and under were all killed by Herod in that community. That same night, the family departed for Egypt and stayed there until the death of Herod. Any of the gifts the Magi brought to Jesus could have been sold or traded for supplies and accommodations and living expenses. We must presume that he took the three gifts with him, perhaps hiring servants to attend them, and certainly to protect them on the journey. So let's ask the question, how old was Joseph when Jesus was born? Come on, we have teenager boys here that want to know. We have teenage girls wanting to know, how old should the guy be? For me, it was 22, and I was man enough to marry Hope, and she was woman enough to say yes. She is 20. Well, in our culture, that's a little bit older than probably this culture was, at least on Mary's part. We're not told the age of Joseph or Mary. Many assume that Mary was a teenager because that was the age that most young women got married at that time. The assumption, based on practices at the time, is that Joseph would have been older, at least by a couple of years, maybe more, than Mary. But how much older is irrelevant to the text, doesn't say. The fact that Joseph's parents are never mentioned in conjunction with the marriage arrangements might indicate that he is older and no longer under his parents' authority. However, Mary's parents aren't mentioned either. Yet many still assume that Mary was a teenager living at home when Jesus was conceived. In the final analysis, theories about how old Joseph was when Jesus was born are speculation based on almost no evidence. We can, however, say some things with certainty about Joseph. We can also say that if it were important for us to know, the Bible would have made it clear to us. What is known is that Joseph was a godly man. He was a man of integrity. He was a man skilled in his craftsmanship. He was a man entrusted by God to care for Mary and God's one and only begotten son, Jesus. Let me ask another question. Was Joseph married before he became engaged to Mary? The suggestion that Joseph was married previous to being mentioned in Scripture as Mary's betrothed is completely fictional. Luke 1, 26 and 27 says this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. There is no scriptural evidence or even a subtle suggestion that Joseph was married to anyone but Mary. We do not know the age of Joseph or Mary, and it's possible that he was considerably older than Mary. We just don't know. Such an arrangement was common in those days, probably in our days too. Anybody seen who Bill Belichick has? I don't know, has he married that teenage girl? I don't know. I think she's in her 20s, actually. He's probably my age. Hey, that's not a bad idea, is it? I'm just asking a random question. Silliness. We don't know the age of Joseph. We know that Abraham married Hagar, a younger woman. We know that after Sarah died, Abraham married Keturah and had six children, six sons, maybe some daughters too. Well, it gives me hope. Ruth married Boaz, who was undoubtedly older. At the same time, it's just as likely that Joseph was only a few years older than Mary. Joseph's age is irrelevant, since it is not given in the Bible and has nothing to do with whether or not he was a widower. The idea that Mary was Joseph's second wife originated from Catholic tradition in an effort to explain the existence of Jesus' brothers and sisters in Matthew 13, verse 55. It says, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" Catholic tradition has long asserted that these individuals might actually be cousins of Jesus or children of Joseph from an earlier marriage. Catholics, with the help of some pseudo-epigraphal books, have constructed an entirely fictional account of Joseph saying he was older, he was an older man, he had been married, he had been widowed, and Mary came into the family, was never kissy face with him, had the baby Jesus, and then lived in that state forever, well, until they died. This theory is crucial to Catholic theology in order to substantiate their doctrine that Mary remained a virgin even after giving birth to Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says. It is true that Mary was a virgin when the angel Gabriel appeared to her to announce that God had chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. The Bible is clear that she was still a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus. Matthew 1, 25. Joseph had taken Mary to be his wife, Matthew 1, 20, and there is no suggestion that her role as Joseph's wife was in any way different from the role of any other wife. Matthew 1, 25 says, "But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son." The word "until" speaks of a change to the first relationship, the first action here. The implication is that the consummation of the marriage occurred after the birth of Mary's son, Jesus. The meaning is similar to that from this sentence. Little Timmy could not access his trust fund until he turned 25. Well, until means that there was a time when that first action, having no access to the trust fund, changed to something else. He had access to the money to buy a new Ford Mustang or whatever he wanted later on. The structure of Matthew 1:25 clearly suggests that consummation did in fact occur after the birth. And there were four children born after Jesus, at least, four sons and daughters, plural. So there had to be at least six other children born to Mary. If other children had been present before Jesus' marriage to Mary, it's likely they would have been mentioned somewhere in the four Gospels, especially Luke's very detailed description of the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, or Matthew's report of the subsequent flight to Egypt. But no other children are mentioned. Matthew records the angel specifically tells Joseph, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Joseph is to take two people, Mary and Jesus, not a larger brood of children from a previous marriage. So he got up and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Egypt. Again, only Mary and the child are mentioned. There are no other children, which would imply that Jesus' subsequent brothers and sisters were all younger and came along as the natural result of Mary and Joseph's normal marital relationship. It is often tempting to try to make Scripture say something it doesn't say in order to create a theology that we like. But we should remember a basic principle of scriptural interpretation. Whenever possible, let the Scripture interpret Scripture. We get into trouble when we try to make God's word fit a preconceived idea or a doctrine that we want to find comfort in. The notion of Joseph's previous marriage is such an idea, but it has no foundation in God's word. Here's what we can say for sure about Joseph. He was a man of integrity. He was a man skilled in his craftsmanship. He was a man who trusted God to care for Mary and God's only son. He must have been a remarkable young man. Joseph raised him from conception and birth through those first 12 years of life living in a foreign country and raised him to adulthood as a skilled craftsman. As we celebrate Christmas, this season of God's gifting our world with his Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, may we be men and women of Christian integrity, faithful in ministry according to the gifts and grace given us, using it for the benefit of not only our church family, but others, our families. May we be trustworthy to pass on our Christian testimony to a world desperately in need. Joseph was a righteous man, as it says in Matthew 1:19. He was morally and sexually pure. He was kind. He was merciful. Even when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he didn't want to hurt her, send her away. He thought of other ways to deal with her and protect her. He cared more about her than about his own reputation. He was obedient to God. He was obedient to the angelic messenger that God sent to him. He trusted God even in difficult and unusual circumstances. Once he had heard from God, he quickly obeyed immediately what God told him to do, and he obeyed in every detail. In Luke 2:41-42, After returning from Egypt, Joseph led his family spiritually. We assume he did those 12 years. We just don't have a record of it biblically. But when he came back after 12 years, Jesus went straight to the temple and confounded the religious leaders. He's only 12 years old. Astounding the scholars in that community. These are all godly characteristics that we should seek to emulate. In closing, let me quote somebody that said, I sent that ancestry.com website some information on my family tree. They sent me back a pack of seeds, and they suggested that I start over. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, which is sharp and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you for giving us insight and wisdom about the meaning of Christmas, the purpose of this little baby coming. It wasn't just about stars and angels and gifts and trees and lights. All of those are fine. I don't have a problem with those, but the focus is on the baby. It's not on Mary. It's not on Joseph. Not on the animals. It's on the baby, Jesus, born to become the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of this world. Thank you for dying upon the cross for my sins personally, for dying on the cross for the sins of my 6 sons and my 9 grandchildren. Thank you for drawing each one of them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful testimony I heard this past week from the 2 older girls that they've trusted Jesus, singing praise to you in Latin and in English, just praising you, thanking you for your goodness. Father, have mercy on us. Give us a wonderful Christmas season. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.